Ride.
Good morning, Southwest Florida, and welcome to the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. This is a live medical talk show in which you're invited to participate. If you have a question or comment along the way, please feel free to call us at 941-206-1580 or toll free at 888-441-1580. And now, here's your host of the show, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. So good to be here and have this wonderful program. And I go around and more and more people are telling me they're tuning in. So this is a great show. You got to listen to it. You got to tell other people about this because it could save your life. The more you learn about your health and your body, how much better is that? So that you could live better, have more good years. So we have Dr. Katzen here. We have Zane. This is October Breast. Good morning. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And we really want to talk about breast cancer today. But we also want to talk about, last week we had a great show about vaccines. And we're going to talk about a little more about vaccines because this is really very important. And in terms of prevention, why not get vaccinated to prevent a major illness? So we have been, we've had a little segment called What Body Part Am I? And we're going to do something a little different today. Now, one of the reasons I love being a physician and I always wanted to be a doctor is that I love that we as a physician can use all our senses. Do you not agree, Dr. Katzen?
Oh, of course, yes. I mean, we use all our senses, our sight, our smell, our touch.
Our touch is we examine.
And we listen.
We listen to the heart. We can hear heart murmurs. We listen to the lungs to see if there's any rails or noises in the lungs. We also listen to the patient. You can smell if something doesn't smell right, certain diseases. Also, when we examine, we could see what is the size of a lump, a bump. Is it hard? Is it hot? So as a physician, we get to use all our senses. And of course, the biggest one of all, we get to use our brain, which is I love learning and doing.
Right. The art of physical diagnosis was very highly developed before the modern era of technology. And the old doctors would see a lot more about how small, see a lot more small changes associated with various diseases.
Right. They were more astute. So I want to transmit to my radio audience this feeling of using your senses to examine your body. So we're going to do this. And what is know your anatomy? What body part am I? So I'm going to examine a part of the body. And I want you callers and listeners, you listeners and callers, to call in and tell me what body part am I examining. Okay. Now, there's a lot of little good details that we are going to give you. So I'm going to take my fingers and I'm going to examine this body part. This body part is made up of skin and cartilage. If you examine, you can feel the skin is smooth. The cartilage, you can bend it and it pops back. It has a helix and parts that are called fossas. They're like indentations. It also, this body part has a lobule or a lobe, which many women will dress up, and some men too. If you go further in examining, there's a part that is called the targus, and that part is the entrance of a canal. And there is small little hair And there's a waxy substance sometime in this canal. So what body part am I? So I want everyone to examine this body part, guess it, call us at 206-1580, because it is important to understand your anatomy. Now, we are going to talk about vaccinations. And we talked last week about the different types of vaccination for adults. Now, we're talking specifically, hello, caller. This is Dr. Triana speaking.
Yeah.
Yes.
The answer to your question is the ear.
Yay! Very good. Thank you so much. Now, you need to examine your ear. Thank you, caller. What's your first name?
Tom.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you. Okay, I guess the other person hung up. But yes, it's the ear. You know, it's very important to examine your ear and know. And also know that in those little fossae, little pieces of tissue of skin can accumulate, and that needs to be periodically cleaned. And that was very good, Tom. Thank you for calling in. The ear. So now, back to the vaccinations. One of the things we want everyone to understand, and we are talking about adult vaccinations. So we talked about the flu. Now, if you have any questions, you can always, if you don't feel like calling in, you can always email me at askdrtriana@trianapreventioncenter.com. Now, this recommendations can be found about vaccinations at the website of the CDC.gov. Basically, the flu shot, which is also called the influenza vaccination, should be given once a year. And another vaccine that we talked about that a lot of patients actually forget about is the tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis.
A lot of infants didn't get the...
Hello, caller? Yes, excuse me.
It is not about your show, but I'm trying to find out what station the governor debate is going to be tonight. Does anybody know?
I'm sorry, I don't know, but thank you for calling.
Okay,
this is a live talk radio medical show, and we are here to help you learn more about your health, your body, so that you can live longer and better.
Yeah, well, what I was saying before is that the a lot of young people, some who were immigrants of, and some who were born here locally, did not get the DPT the DPT injections when they were children, so they are subject now to getting diphtheria, pertussis, which is whooping cough, and tetanus. So it's important that the adults who may have come from another country, or even our local adults, people who were born in this country, who were able to start school without having to have that shot. Now, in this day and time, you can't get into school to begin with unless you have your immunizations.
So the important thing to remember, that tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis vaccination, you get what's called the Tdap. You only need that once. And then every 10 years, you should get the TD, which is the tetanus, diphtheria. Now, this is really important to remember. Yes, even as adults, people can get, as you were saying, diphtheria. So it's very important that we get every 10 years the TD. It's called, if you've already had the Tdap once, you need it once, then every 10 years you get the tetanus. Now, people will say to me, what about if I have a cut or a wound? Well, you can, your tetanus should last for 10 years. If your wound is very deep or is considered a very dirty wound, you can get a booster. But theoretically, what's recommended is every 10 years. So hopefully you won't get a wound. But you should be doing that even over the age of 65.
And one of the things I read this week, Dr. Triana, is that we're expecting a very aggressive flu season. So the H1N1 vaccine, which is the flu vaccine, is important for people to take to get. There are some people who are very skeptical about getting that flu vaccine. But if they get influenza this winter, it may well be a very, very serious illness.
And yes, so, you know, the influenza vaccine or the flu vaccine does not give you the flu. Now, you might have a little local reaction, but it does not give you the flu. I know some people feel it does, but it does not. So we talked about the influenza, the tetanus vaccination. We've spoken about the zoster vaccination for adults for shingles, the shingles vaccination, it's called. We also talked about the pneumonia. Remember, the pneumonia, the Prevnar 13 is a one-time dose, and then the pneumococcal vaccination is 5 years, can be 5 years after that or within 1 year.
And that's really particularly important for the older population because the if an older person gets a pneumococcal infection, there's a very high mortality, almost 50%.
And, you know, I mean, all of us here are trying to stay healthy. Life is really wonderful, and we are given a gift. God has given us the gift of life, and we need to take care of that gift. So part of prevention is getting your vaccination. I had a patient, she says, you know, I eat good, I exercise, I don't think I need anything else. Well, no, it's very important to eat good, exercise, but it's not just about that. You have to do other things too, to be more proactive. Now, there's a hepatitis A vaccination and a hepatitis B. All people that work in healthcare are given hepatitis B. Now children are given hepatitis B vaccination, and it's recommended because it's very common, hepatitis B. Now the hepatitis A is recommended if you're gonna be in some areas are traveling. It's important also to get the hepatitis A vaccination. There's also a meningococcal vaccination that's important if you're going to go to college, if you're going to join the military, where there's a lot of grouping of people. So if you have any questions about the vaccinations for your age, what you should do, give us a call at 206-1580. It's very important that you be aware of this. Ask your physician, your doctor, keep records. Remember we talked about that last time. Keeping records are very important.
Now, these vaccinations that you mentioned are all for diseases that are really communicable. People get them easily if they're around somebody else who has that disease.
So today we're going to talk about breast cancer. Now, first of all, before we get to breast cancer, I think we need to review again the part of that body, the breast. Now, anyone out there, if you're driving in a car, you're not going to be able to do this. But if you're at home, I want everyone at home, you're there, I want you to stand in front of a mirror with the radio on, and of course, you know, in a private place, we're going to examine our breast, and this is going to be for men and women. So I want you, I'm going to give you all a few minutes to see if you can go ahead, either go to a room in your house where you have a mirror, have the radio on. I want you to stand in front of the mirror I want you to be without a shirt on from the waist up where you can examine your breasts, both men and women. Now, this is very important that each of us knows the parts that we're examining. Now we know the breast is made up of lobules, which we cannot see, but that's what produces the milk. There's the ducts that takes the milk from the lobules to the nipple. we know there's the body, the part of the breast called the stroma that has fatty tissue, connective tissue, blood vessels, and lymphatics. So this is part of the breast tissue. Now, everyone, if you're standing in front of a mirror, I want you to, first of all, observe. Look at your breast. Is there a discoloration on your breast?
One breast or the other.
One breast or the other. Or both. Usually one breast is a little bit larger than the other, in women especially. Now, I want men also to learn to examine their breast. This is part of what you need to know. Now, you're standing in front of a mirror. You take your arm and you're going to examine your left breast. I want you to raise your left arm behind your head and take your right hand to reach over to your right breast. Okay? Now, it's very important. To your left breast. Now I'm getting confused. Okay. So first of all, we're going to look at the skin. Is there a discoloration? Is there a dimpling in the skin? Is there a discharge coming from the nipple? Is your nipple red, scaly? Is it changing colors? Is there blood coming from your nipple?
And you should look at your bra too for a woman. Yes.
And look at your bra to see if there's any discharge. Okay, now there's different ways to examine your breasts, but right now we're going to be standing in front of a mirror. We're going to take our left arm and put it behind our head. That's going to stretch out that breast tissue a little bit. Now, if some people have a problem where they can't lift up their shoulder, if they have a frozen shoulder, maybe it would be easier if they laid down. But I am trying to teach you in front of a mirror. You take your fingertips. Now, a lot of people do not realize that part of examining your breasts includes examining your axillae or your armpit. You need to go in and examine your armpit. I divide the armpit into three parts. Use your fingertips. Feel. Do you feel any lumps or bumps? Do you feel tenderness? So it's very important to feel under your armpit because that's where breast tissue, usually the lymph nodes, if there is a problem, may become swollen. Second of all, when you put your arm down, you're still feeling for lymph nodes. I want you to feel above your clavicle.
That's correct. That's the second line of defense.
The second line of defense. So now we've examined our armpit. We've lowered our arm a little bit. We examine above the clavicle. We're still standing in front of the mirror. Everyone, men and women, need to do this on a monthly basis. Get to know your body. You are the first person to know when something is going wrong. You live in your body. Get to know your body. Now, we have our arms up in the air. We're going to take our breast. And we're going to take a breast and think of kind of like a pie or maybe a wheel. Divide your breasts up into four quadrants or four parts. I want you to first take your fingertips, examine around the nipple, examine the areola, that's the darkened area around the nipple. I want you to feel, again, is there tenderness? Do you feel any lumps or bumps? You know, people say, oh my gosh, everything feels lumpy to me. Get to know your body. See if there's a change.
Well, now, if you examine your breast every month at about the same time of the month, then you should be able to tell a difference so that the lumps and bumps you feel, you get familiar with.
Now you're examining your breasts. Now, if you're having regular periods, you should wait at least 1 week after your period to examine your breast. If you're in menopause, it doesn't matter. Now, but you should do it on a monthly basis. Now, we're examining underneath the nipple and the areola. You can feel, go in a circular pattern around that area. Now I want you to go to what's called the left outer quadrant. Start from the inside, work your way out, and feel. Do you feel any lumps? Do you feel any bumps? Do you feel tissue that feels maybe a different? Is there any tenderness? Do you realize that there's a red or hot spot? Again, you've done the outer quadrant. Now, the outer quadrant is called the tail of Spence, and that area of tissue is a little bit denser than the rest of your breast.
That's also the area of the breast where most of the tumors develop.
Okay. So you've done, you divide it up into four quadrants. You've done the left upper quadrant. Now you're going to go to each other quadrant. Start in the center and work your way out and examine your breast. Remember, stand in front of a mirror, observation. Palpation is examination. Start with the axillary or armpit and then check above your clavicle. Then you check the areola, the nipple, and then you examine your breast and do it systematically in different quadrants. Now, some people will recommend doing it in the shower, right, Dr. Katzen?
Right, because your fingertips are more sensitive when they're soapy or slippery, and so you're more likely to find a difference in the lumpiness, so to speak, because the breast tissue is not homogeneous. It's not like examining a smooth organ.
So if you have any questions, please call us at 206-1580. It's 941-206-1580. If you have any questions, so everyone, men also, need to examine their breasts. Though the chances of breast cancer in men is low, there is a possibility.
Yeah, there's all kinds of different statistics. 1 in 10 of breast cancers are in men, or some people say 1 in 20. It's in my experience, it's been pretty unusual. But some of the cardiac meds that people are put on after they have a heart attack will cause the breast to swell in a man.
We call that gynecomastia. So men can have breast tissue develop too, and another reason to examine their breasts. So just to recap, get naked in front, from the waist up, in front of your mirror, focus on your breasts, and also look at the skin, look, examine, and this is so important, and it could save your life.
Right.
So we have that. So now we're going to take our little break, and then we're going to talk about breast cancer.
You're listening to The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte. We encourage you to visit their new website, which is trianapreventioncenter.com. That's T-R-I-A-N-A Prevention Center, all one word, .com, to catch up on previous shows. There's an archive going back to the beginning of the show covering a wide variety of topics. Dr. Triana is accepting new patients currently, and we'll ask the doctor to give her phone number out in just a little bit. In the meantime, if you'd like to call this program, our numbers are 941-206-1580 and toll-free at 888-441-1580. And now, back to Dr. Elizabeth Triana and Dr. Katzen.
And welcome back to The Slippery Slope of Lipids. This is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Our office number is 941-629-1990. Today, we have such interesting topics. We've talked about vaccinations. We're talking about breast cancer. We're trying to teach everyone out there to how to examine your breast. And, you know, we're trying to, over the radio, you have to use visualization. And it's so, so important to do this. So what is the statistics about breast cancer? And why is it important that this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, when we know that there are about 232,000 new cases of invasive breast cancer in women.
Each year.
That's what the American Cancer Society says in 2014. And about 62,000 are going to be, what we're going to talk about is ductal carcinoma in situ. So
that's non-invasive cancer,
non-invasive,
but it's still a cancer.
It's still a cancer. About 40,000 women will die from breast cancer. Now, breast cancer is not the leading cause of death of cancer in women. It's lung cancer. It's not breast cancer. So it is the second leading cause of cancer death. The number one cause of cancer death is lung cancer in women.
Right. And it never used to be that way until women started smoking.
So that we know. We know, too, that there are about 2.8 million cancer breast survivors. That's a lot of people.
Right.
In this country.
And today, if somebody is diagnosed with cancer, they have about a 60% chance of being here 5 years from now.
So, and one of the decreases, death rates is declining since 1989 with women under the age of 50 especially. And that's attributed to early detection.
Right.
So early detection involves getting a mammogram.
And also self-examination, like we just went through.
So getting a mammogram is very important. Dr. Katzen, I still have patients who come to me, especially new patients, and say they don't want to get a mammogram. They're afraid of the radiation.
Right. Well, we've talked about this on previous radio shows, but the amount of radiation that's absorbed by the breast depends somewhat on its size, but other than that, the amount of radiation used today compared to years ago is just a very small fraction. It's equivalent to the kind of radiation you might have if you had a chest x-ray or something like that. It's even less than that.
So everyone needs to know that you should be getting your mammograms.
Now, one of the things that I see when I talk to patients is that they feel as they get older, they need to have fewer mammograms. In other words, instead of having a mammogram every year, maybe every 2 or 3 years. But my experience tells me that it's really important for women to continue to have annual mammography because the incidence of breast cancer in postmenopausal women goes up with age. And last year we had one lady, 93 years old, who had a de novo cancer.
So, and we also talked about that one study that said that even women over the age of 75, if we did a mammogram, early detection again is the key, because then they won't be so advanced.
Right.
When it's detected.
And it's much easier to see a tumor in an older lady postmenopausal because the breast tissue time, the globular milk-producing portion of the breast tissue kind of withers away, and so we're only looking at the fat and the background and the stroma, what you described as the supportive tissue of the breast.
So we're going to talk about the different types of breast cancer. So to keep it, keep it simple and understandable, we're going to look at, remember the breast tissue is made of lobules, which are milk-producing glands, ducts that take the milk to the nipple, and then the stroma, which is the supporting tissue. Now, there is the type called ductal carcinoma in situ, which basically the abnormal cells are formed in the lining of the ducts, which we call the epithelium. And ductal carcinoma in situ means
that the cancer, because it is a cancer, does not go beyond the basement membrane, in other words, the supportive tissue of the duct. So it just is purely an example of cancer cells that are in the linings of the duct. And the feeling is that until cancer becomes invasive, it's not likely to spread.
So the other, if you hear, this is also called DCIS. Ductal carcinoma in situ. Now, the next stage of ductal carcinoma is invasive ductal carcinoma. And about 80% of cancers are invasive ductal carcinoma.
Right, because since most of the cancers start in the duct, when it gets more aggressive, it invades through we call it the basement membrane, and the cancer then spreads into the remaining portion of the breast.
So it used to also be called infiltrative ductal carcinoma. Now, carcinoma, again, is a cancer, abnormal cells of the lining of the ducts. Now, a lot of patients say, well, you know, I examine my breasts and I never feel any lumps or bumps. So why do I need a mammogram? Well, you need a mammogram because mammograms can detect before we feel the lump.
That's correct. And also sometimes some cancers are associated with little tiny bits of calcium, little that look like crystals of salt. And those crystals of salt can be the warning signs of a developing cancer. And make a diagnosis by biopsying those little tiny calcifications. Some of them are very small, like less than a quarter of an inch.
Now, there are other types of cancer. There's called lobular carcinoma in situ. So this is a cancer that stays in the milk-producing glands.
Right.
And it's also considered a precancerous lesion because it's in situ, but yet it can spread.
Right. Any in situ cancer does not invade the basement membrane. Once it invades the basement membrane, it's called invasive cancer, no matter where it happens to be. And that also gives the cancer an opportunity to enter into the lymphatic system, which is why we check under the armpit.
Correct. So we know that cancer is staged also by how invasive it is, the size of the lump that we find. It also depends if it's spread to the lymph nodes, how many lymph nodes, and if it's spread to the lymph node, not only under the armpit, but also above the clavicle or other lymph nodes.
That's correct. Surgeons these days will, if they have to operate on a breast cancer, will inject a small amount of radioactive material around the nipple just prior to the surgery so that they can use a probe and find the most likely node where these lymphatics are draining, and that helps them dissect out the nodes of the and then the axilla.
Now, if cancer has spread, that's called metastasis. So, and that affects the stage. If someone they find breast cancer and they have metastasis to the bone or other parts of the body, then that again affects the stage.
Yes, of course.
So it's really, really important to understand the stage. But just to keep it simple, we know that ductal carcinoma in situ, but the most common found is invasive ductal carcinoma, or IDC. And that's about 80%, as we said, of cancers. But there's other types of breast cancer. There's inflammatory breast cancer.
Paget's disease of the breast, which is a kind of inflammatory cancer that starts around the areola, the colored portion of the breast, and the nipple.
And the Paget's disease, it usually starts in the ducts. It spreads to the nipple, the areola, and it becomes the skin you could see is crusted, red, scaling, oozing. So that's why I want everyone to stand in front of the mirror when they do their examination. And, you know, you can look at your skin, too, to see if there's any molds or lesions on your chest that are not healing or also bleeding. Inflammatory breast cancer another type of cancer can cause the skin of the breast to dimple.
Yes. The Skewers type cancer tends to retract the adjacent tissue and pull in a portion of the skin so you can actually see a dimple.
And that's like the skin of an orange.
Right.
They call it skin of orange, and it dimples up.
Well, what happens there is, actually they call it peau d'orange.
Peau d'orange, right.
And what happens is the lymphatics and that exist just below the skin get clogged up with tumor cells and block the drainage. And so the skin swells up and looks like the skin of an orange.
So that's why it's important to observe the skin too. There's another type of tumor called phyllodes tumor, which develops in the connective tissue that we call the stroma. Now, this is usually benign, but it can become malignant.
Right.
And you can even get cancer, although it's rare, is angiosarcoma, which is cancer of the blood vessels that are in your breast.
Right.
So going back to the symptoms of breast cancer, what are we looking for?
Well, in early cancers, there are no symptoms. Because we're looking for a little tiny lump you can feel before.
Or you can't feel.
Or that you can't feel in a mammogram before there are any symptoms. Now, the symptoms of spread depend on which organ is involved. The spread to the bone, then people will have bone pain. Spread to the lungs, people might have shortness of breath, and cough up blood. Spread to the liver, people may actually get jaundice.
So some of the symptoms of breast cancer, as Dr. Katzen said, could be a lump, a thickening in the breast. It feels different than the rest of your tissue. That's why we want you to learn your anatomy.
Patient's the best observer. Actually, I'm not sure about the statistics, but I think at least half the breast cancers that are discovered are discovered by the patient.
If you have any questions, give us a call on 206-1580. And we're talking about breast cancer today. This is Dr. Elizabeth Triana, A Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues. My office is at the Triana Prevention Center. And we also are there to prevent and help you to live better. One of the things that I do, I'm also a menopause specialist, and I treat women with menopause, women's health. We want to teach men, too, about their health, men's health. And also, I'm a lipidologist, have my boards in lipids, which is to prevent heart attack, stroke, and diabetes. So, hello, caller.
Hello?
Hello, caller. What's your name?
Yes, hi. This is Bill.
Hi, Bill. What's your question?
Well, I know you're talking about breast cancer, but what is the percentage of men that develop breast cancer? Is it very low, or is it more common than we think?
It is very low.
You know?
And I don't have the exact number for you, but I would guess it's about less than 10%.
Yeah, 5 to 10.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Of cancers, less than 10% of cancers occur in men. Now, the other thing is when a man does get a cancer, it is really a therapeutic problem because the cancers do tend to be more aggressive in men, in my experience, than in women.
Ah.
And that may be because of some delay in diagnosis, but it's really hard for a man to ignore a lump because they don't really normally have much breast tissue. And most lumps that men come in with are benign, and some, in my experience, they're related to some kind of drug use or whatever. I don't mean an illicit drug. I mean prescribed drugs.
That's a great question, Bill. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, that's why we want men to learn to examine their breasts, too, and get to know their anatomy. Things to look at, other symptoms. Is there a bloody discharge from the nipple? One time I had a patient and she thought she had gotten a bug bite on her breast and it was red and hard and she kind of ignored it for a while. And finally it opened up into a hole in her breast and it was a cancer. She didn't come and seek help or get checked out until there was already an opening in the skin and a hole and a wound. And needless to say, that was not a good prognosis.
Yeah, we live in an age where people can talk about things like this, but like having a wound on your breast, having a redness in your breast, examining your breast on radio. Years ago, women would be very ashamed if they had something wrong with their breast, and they would come in only when things were pretty far advanced.
So we don't have to wait to that point.
No, and which makes the treatment and everything else much more complicated, and the outlook certainly more dismal.
Also, look at, again, we talked about the change of size of your breast. Is your breast getting larger on one side? And also, what about women who have breast implants? They can still get mammograms.
Yes, it's very important for them to have mammograms because some recent studies have been published which show that women who have implants, well, if they do get a breast cancer, the cancers are discovered at a larger stage or than they are in a woman who doesn't have implants. Now, there's no increased numbers of cancers in ladies who have implants, and I don't mean to imply that. It just makes it a little bit more difficult to examine.
So if you have implants, again, examine your breast, see if there's any change. Also, very important, if your nipple has never been what we call inverted, what is an inverted nipple? The nipple actually folds in like a belly button. That's what it kind of looks like. So if you never had a problem before, and because there are some women who've always had their nipples inverted, but if the nipple inverts and that's new, that also needs to be checked out. If you see any peeling or scaling on your nipples, your areola, or other parts of your breast, that needs to be checked out also. Is there redness, pitting of the skin? Do you feel heat? Do you feel, again, a discharge coming out, any discharge, clear, bloody, or even a purulent, what we call purulent means a yellowish discharge, could be an infection. There is an infection of the breast called mastitis, which we have seen especially after women are breastfeeding can happen. But we're talking about get to know your anatomy, examine your breasts, and look for changes.
And one of the problems about self-examination is that American women tend to shave under their arms and to use deodorant. And sometimes they'll change their deodorant and they'll develop a little allergy to the heavy metal that's in the deodorant. And if that's the case and you happen to be examining your breast and all of a sudden you feel something you didn't feel before and you just change your deodorant because of something you saw on TV or whatever, then probably the best idea is to stop using deodorant to wash thoroughly and go back to whatever deodorant you were using before.
So the important thing, again, examine, know your anatomy, examine your breast, know the different changes. There are risk factors for breast cancer. I think this is really important that we talk about these risk factors. There's age. You're more at risk. If you're a smoker, if you have a family history. Now, again, I have patients who say, I have no family history of breast cancer. I am not going to get a mammogram.
Well, there isn't that direct relationship in breast cancer between the family history and you getting cancer. But there is an association. I mean, if you have a mother, an aunt, a grandmother who have had breast cancer, then you probably have a higher risk, but that risk is very difficult to measure.
There are genetic tests which you could talk about.
Well, there's a gene called the BRCA gene, and that gene is associated with almost a 70% incidence of cancer. And if you've been reading the ladies' magazines and all, you can see some of the more popular ladies have had simple mastectomies because they've had the BRCA gene and don't want to take that risk.
There's also one of the, is anytime someone has radiation to their chest is also a risk factor for breast cancer.
Yes, people who have Hodgkin's disease or other diseases which are treated with radiation or probably even chemotherapy as well. Because chemotherapy is best. Some of the chemotherapy therapeutic agents are what we call radiomimetic. In other words, they mimic the effect of radiation.
So that also, if you have had that, again, family history, smoking, obesity also is associated with breast cancer.
Right. Now, one of the things about the BRCA gene, if your mother has the BRCA gene and you're a young person, you should be tested for it. Doesn't mean that you will have it, but if you have it, you would need to know about it.
And other risk factors are if you've never been pregnant, that's considered a risk factor for developing breast cancer. Risk. Now, remember, risk is the possibility of having that. What is the possibility?
Right.
The chances.
Now, it isn't really a very strong possibility because people who have studied nuns, who obviously have never been pregnant, have found just a very small increased incidence of breast cancer in those ladies.
So, again, let's review that the number one cause of death of cancer in women is lung.
Right.
And we've done a wonderful program on lung cancer. If you want to go to our website, TrianaPreventionCenter.com, as we had said before, all the shows are archived, and it is a great program talking about lung cancer. We know that the most common breast cancer detected or found, 80% in women, is invasive ductal carcinoma.
That's correct.
That the also called IDC. And ductal carcinoma in situ is just that. It's in the lining of the duct also before it infiltrates the duct wall.
Right. About 20% of the cancers that are discovered are non-invasive.
And we know also that the early detection, again, is the key. So this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. But remember, too, that the number one killer of both men and women is still vascular. It's heart, stroke.
Heart and stroke, right. And it's by a long way.
And
remember, there's one person every 37 seconds that has a heart attack in this country.
34 seconds.
34 seconds, excuse me.
So this is not to say that breast cancer is extremely important. And for anybody who survived it, there are almost 3 million women who have survived or living with breast cancer have survived it. That's an enormous amount of women.
Well, and there's going to be more in the future because early detection leads to early treatment and better survival, better survival statistics.
So everyone out there, let's get your mammograms done. There is no reason why you should not get a mammogram every year. It's an investment in your health. It's the key to early detection. I know some women who haven't had health insurance have been putting it off or wait, or some women have the misconception that because they're older, they feel they don't need a mammogram anymore.
Or that the radiation is going to cause
cancer. The radiation is going to cause a cancer. Or one lady told me, you know, I don't want to get a mammogram because I had a friend and they were called back and they got scared. She started crying because she had to go back for another spot compression or an ultrasound. And I said the first step is a screening mammogram.
Right. About 10% of the people who have a mammogram the reader of the mammogram is not 100% sure it's either negative or positive, and they'll call the patient back. So it's not that big a deal, although it is frightening, I'm sure, to be called back. But in fact, most of the callbacks result in a normal examination or continued observation.
So this feeling of fear, we don't need to be scared. We don't need to have fear. Knowledge, again, is power. And knowledge of your anatomy, knowledge of your body, of your health, there should be no fear. The mammogram done once a year is life-saving for early detection. And if you do detect early, there's more chances of living longer.
Right. And we've seen some tumors be very aggressive. In other words, somebody will have a normal mammogram, and 9 months later they'll have a lump in their breast. And even when you go back and look at the mammogram 9 months previously, there wasn't anything there.
So everyone out there, get your mammogram. No test is 110% perfect.
Right.
But getting a mammogram, a little pressure on your breast is okay. It's not going to give you breast cancer. We know that early detection is the key. Same with the vaccinations. Get your vaccinations. Talk to your doctor. Find out for your age group what vaccinations you need. Don't wait. We know that we can prevent, and especially, for example, like the pneumonia.
Right, because of the high mortality rate with pneumonia, it's important for older people especially to get that Pneumovax vaccine and the secondary vaccine.
So this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana with Dr. Katzen. This is the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues. If you'd like to listen to previous shows, you can go to our website. If you want to go ahead and email a question, you can email AskDrTriana at Triana, T-R-I-A-N-A, PreventionCenter.com. Call in on our shows. We're here from 11 to 12 every Friday. Tell your friends, listen in, and live and learn. Stay healthy.
And I just wanted to add something. I've placed a link on our homepage that makes it easier for listeners to find you and to perhaps schedule a breast exam. Look for the pink ribbon that's on the homepage. You'll see a pink ribbon. Just click on that, and that links directly to the TrianaPreventionCenter.com. Not only are there the archive, of course, but there's also information there where Dr. Triana's practice is located, and also the phone number where you can call and schedule an appointment.
So this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana, the Slippery Slope of Lipids. Stay healthy. Don't go down that slope. God bless.
CCF Punta Gorda.
News Radio 1580.
Charlotte County's only news talk radio station, serving you around the clock.